I've been blessed to, work with a lot of humongous athletes, and there's a big difference with some of them that enter space as others. Some of them do not immediately don't like the attention that is inevitable when they walk into a space, and they turn away from it, and you can tell they're not looking to engage with it. Shaq is someone who enters a space. He has a calmness to him. He knows that how he wants to interact with this room, what he does want to do, what he doesn't want to do, when to speak, when not to speak. But he has this great ability to recognize, okay, this is where I inject humor. This is when I want everyone to pay attention to me. This is when I want to shift attention somewhere else. And I just think he has this advanced ability that he can recognize every person's emotion and what they're thinking. He has this hypersensitivity to that. And it's really unique. You know, I've been lucky to see it in a couple of people, but he's definitely one of the rarest ones I've seen, and how he controls a room and how he makes everybody feel worthy and special. He remembers everyone's name, shakes everyone's hand, talks to everybody in this way that feels really connecting and kind. And it's always feels honest. It never feels forced to me. It always feels honest.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the podcast. Before we get to my guest this week, I am going to be at the Des Moines, Iowa Funny Bone December 16th and 17th. So come on out, check out some shows if you're in the area. If you're not, fly, drive, take a dog sled, thumb. You can look that word up, what thumb means. Love to see you guys there. It's always fun being there. I haven't been back in about a year and a half because of COVID. So December 16th and 17th, come on out. Go to Funny Bone, Des Moines, Iowa for tickets, or go to paulmercurio.com. That voice you heard was Robert Alexander, HBO documentary series director of the four-part doc, Shaq. Really, really great documentary. I've seen two episodes so far, waiting for the other two to drop. You're going to really find it interesting. That quote was Robert talking about just, you know, what he learned in working and being with and being around Shaq, and just what a unique person he is and the kind of vibe he gives off. And that's just one of many little tidbits you get from this interview with Robert about Shaq, and real kind of insider look into the life of Shaq and what he's like and what it's like to make a film with somebody of that stature. So a really cool interview with him. And before we get to the full interview, I just want to say we need to stop with the word handcrafted and trying to sell crappy products. So you have all of these fast food chains. Everybody's using the word handcrafted to describe the way their food is made. Okay, like it's a sweaty meat sandwich. Okay, I'm not being sold by the word handcrafted thinking, oh, okay, this is being made by a three-star Michelin three-star chef in from France. No, okay. I've been to Quiznos. I've had their sandwiches. I wish only a hand were involved in the crafting of those sandwiches. Okay, stop it. We're not buying it. And you can't use the word handcrafted, because you can't use the word to describe the thing making the sandwich, which is a hand, which is the same thing that we use to check a prostate. So enough with the handcrafted. Enjoy Robert Alexander. I think he's a really great filmmaker, and you're going to really enjoy this conversation. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show, and welcome, first timers. My guest this week, a very accomplished director. He directs The Shop on HBO and has a new four-part documentary out on Shaquille O'Neal called Shaq. It's director Robert Alexander. Great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Obviously, Shaq is a bigger-than-life, literally and figuratively, character. And I know that HBO approached you about doing this doc. And I think you've said that you spent probably at least a year preparing, but you had to come up with some creative first to, I guess, for lack of a better term, hook Shaq or get his approval or whatever the right term might be. What was that creative that you came up with to kind of get this whole thing started?
Well, I think he's so diverse. I think he's so multifaceted. I think that it would have been honestly kind of a waste of his time if we just did this a straightforward sports doc, talking head, cut back and forth between conversation and pivotal moments, and just kind of tell it as just kind of one of those conventional films, and that's right. Not how I approach filmmaking, period. And with someone as unique as Shaq, I really wanted to make sure that it reflected how diverse he is as a character. So we said, I looked at one, the story beats that I wanted to tell in each film. And then I said, well, what would be a really fun creative approach? Because when you are in this business and you're making these things, you want to entertain yourself as much as you do anyone else. So yeah. I thought it was important to come up with a really fresh way that I was excited, something I haven't tried before, in a lot of different ways to make the film. And I was excited. He was excited. HBO was excited. And my producing partners were excited. And we said, let's just go with it. And they gave me a lot of faith and trust with an amazing team, visually and story-wise and editorially, to go out and make something unique.
Yeah, you've got four films, and the first one's inspired by monster movies. The second one is the superhero stuff, which obviously, you know, is a big part of his life. And then the third one you described as sort of the tension in LA at the time, a bit moody. So it kind of has a film noir feel to it. And then that fourth one is just, he's everywhere. He's in so many spaces. So yeah. It seems like it's a really cool way to break it down.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was just something fun, you know. It's just, and that's another thing too. It's like, to your point of like, he always would call himself Superman, and he has a clear approach, and you saw his presence as a player. And so I looked at the film that, and that's what inspires these ideas. You know, it's like every time I go into a film, yeah, there's certain amounts of my creativity and expression that comes out. But when I'm making a doc and I'm working with an individual, they have personality and they have perspective, and we utilize that to kind of unify on a kind of creative execution. And that's just what poured out of us when we started working on this.
Yeah, I work in the non-doc space. So I'm always fascinated on how doc filmmakers do what you do, because you do have some constraints that someone who's not doing docs doesn't have. And you said, quote, as a filmmaker, you get excited about certain things and want to tell a story to a certain scale, and I'm not about sugarcoating or fluff or things that I feel forced. So I need to make sure it feels worthy of the moment and the characters involved. What do you mean by that? And how do you do that and honor the vision that you have for the piece coming in, but also, you know, honor what you get as you're going along? Because I'm assuming you're consuming information from these interviews that starts to alter maybe some perceptions that you had going into the piece.
Yeah, I think that what's cool about being creative, but also understanding constraints and being high quality within constraints, is that you can be free as much as you want, but you have to understand it exists within these parameters. And yeah. So for me, I approach this in a way that says, I need to be open. It's not like I need to walk into this and there's one vision and one way to do this, because you're right. It changes. It changes every day with new pieces of footage you've never seen before. That's amazing. And you're like, I need this in the film. Sometimes things you're excited about up front that you realize, okay, this doesn't help move the story along, so I got to get rid of it. Sometimes you'll sit down and have a conversation and one story is something you never heard before and it contradicts another story. And then you go to a third party and you find out, okay, well, this is what the middle ground is. And I need to play because this feels the most honest, like, to me. And also, you do this with other people and you're asking them to care and love and for this to mean something to them. And if you were in an environment where you're like, well, we have to force the drama, we have to force this type of storytelling, then it's not honest, and you're losing all the people who are sacrificing their time, their energy, and their intelligence and creativity for something that's not real and something that doesn't have a lot of depth and heart to it. And eventually you miss out, and no great product is forced and is constructed in a way that says, well, this is going to get the most eyeballs and clicks. You just have to make the best thing, you know, based on the team of people that you've brought together, and it has to live on its own. That's the only way you can approach it, or the way I believe you should approach this. And so that's what we did.
It's funny, because that was one of the things I was curious about, is when you get, I know you interviewed so many amazing people for this, including Pat Riley and Phil Jackson and, you know, players that he played with and people from his mom, Shaq's mom. When you get a conflicting piece of information, one person says it happened this way, another person says it happened that way. How do you resolve that? And are you going back to the subject himself? Like, in other words, did Shaq have any input in those moments of like, no,
you know, XYZ's version is not the version. It's his other, the other guy's version is the right version. Or is Shaq left out of it at that point? And that's really up to you to sort through what to do with that information.
Well, you know, we're in a unique place because, you know, you're asking people to tell stories and if there's no footage. You know, for instance, there's this great piece where we tell the story of this fight that Pat Riley and Shaq got into. And I initially had Shaq tell the story, then Pat Riley told the story, and I followed up with Shaq on the story. And their stories were more or less completely aligned, you know. It was just, it was the funniest part is like, it was the scenario at which the fight took place was a little different for each person. But then the details of the fight were exactly the same. but you know, our memory is, you know, you get to a certain point where it's unreliable. I mean, you think about Pat Riley and Shaq and Phil Jackson all telling these stories, and for all of them, it's at least 20 years ago, you know? So,
yeah.
So, and you know, they've done great things since then, before then. And so you have to respect that. You have to respect that their memory is, you know, one tool of information, and it's our job to ask a lot of people and dig deeper and make sure that we're approaching this the best way that we can. But you find the middle ground. I mean, that's the job as a filmmaker. You get all this information and then you say, okay, well, what's the middle ground for this? And also what's really strong storytelling, you know, what feels most honest, what feels the most compelling, what feels most stylistic, you know, in whatever approach we're creating for this. And then we just go.
How do you, but like, it's gotta be hard to kind of kill your babies, so to speak. Right. In other words, there's something that you feel it just doesn't fit. It's great, but it just doesn't fit. Or, you know, you've talked about, you know, you're dealing with real people with emotions and feelings, and how do you decide, well, I think this would be good for the film, or I'm not going to put this in. And I know ultimately you sound like you're very collaborative and you'll talk to other people that are part of the process. But at the end of the day, you're the guy at the helm. It's your decision.
Yeah.
How do you, did you have any of those moments where you're like, is there something that's not in there that you would wish were, but you couldn't make it fit, or vice versa?
Yeah, that happens. I mean, the amount of footage that we shoot, I think 70% of it, no one ever sees. And there are things that we shoot.
Well, you're really wasting a lot of film. Come on, man. You got to be more efficient. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, you don't have a choice. You know, you only have so many hours and days that you actually get to put together on these things, and you have to make aggressive choices. And the truth is that it takes a long time to get comfortable with this, but you don't have a choice. Is that the beauty of killing your babies is that no one's ever seen this part. This thing that, oh my God, we're all so excited about. But then we get 3 weeks down the line, they're like, wow, there's really no place for it. There's three or four pieces that we literally moved around and tried to find a home for it. And it just didn't make any sense. It was really special on its own. But once you put it into the full product, oh, wow, it just doesn't fit. It doesn't make any sense. So you have to let it go. And it's tough, but you want to make a complete package, and you don't want to make something that people are like, well, that's strange. That kind of sticks out. So
yeah,
you have to make that choice, and you just got to move forward and let it go, you know?
You know, you talked about sort of some of the things that you went into this and still are, I assume, a huge fan of Shaq. And if, I mean, at least you're going to say you are, because he's huge and he'll beat you up if you don't say you're not. He's a very big man. But you did say about him, you know, in terms of some things that surprise you, you know, you talk about just how he walks into a room and he exudes joy. And I'll get to that in a minute, but you did also say, you know, on a flip side, you said he's ruthless, you know, when it comes to business. You know, this is something you said, when it comes to business, his money, what he wants to achieve, what he wants his legacy, his name to mean. He's like, he won't take any hesitation, no questions asked. This is what I am. This is what I want to represent.
Yeah.
So how was that for you when you're putting a major piece out on someone, their entire life up until this moment, and he is, in a good way, controlling and has a very clear vision? I mean, he's on the board of Papa John's. He's a very smart businessman. He doesn't just take money. He takes equity in some of these companies. He knows what he wants. How were you able, what was he hands-on with this with you? Or did he just say, I'm going to do the interviews and I'll let you cut it up and it is what it is?
Honestly, it's kind of the way I got to work. As he sits down for me and he I have to let him know up front that he can trust me with his life and talking to his mother and communicating with his family and making something that's incredibly well constructed and is thorough. And he let it go. You know, he gave me one note the entire time series. So out of four films, and I don't know how many cuts I shared with this team, I got one note, and it was an incredibly subtle thing.
And do you mind saying what the note was, or is that private?
I think it was, no, I can't talk about it. I can't.
All right. That's why I get it. I appreciate but, that.
Yeah, that's also my duty as the filmmaker is to defend them. You know, look, there's certain aspects that are going to come out and going to be very honest, but you know, there's certain things that in order for him to give me the trust and to let me go off and work on this and to come back and say, this is your life and this is how I saw it. And this is how I presented it. And you don't look awesome the whole time. You don't look like a superhero the whole time. You do a lot, but you also look like a human being like everyone else. And I think it's incredibly honest. And I talked to a lot of people. I did my fact checking. This is what we came back with. And he was cool, you know?
You talk about him, you say this in a good way, like he's an alien in the sense that he has this ability to interact in every space and know and know how he needs to interact in that space.
Yeah.
Can you explain what you mean by that? And is part of the reason that because of his physical size and the size of him as a personality and a world celebrity, that the space, that no matter what the space is diminished because of him. In other words, the space has no choice but to form itself around Shaq because he's a bigger than life personality physically and otherwise.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been blessed to, you know, work with a lot of humongous athletes, you know, and there's a big difference with some of them that enter space as others. Some of them do not immediately don't like the attention that is inevitable when they walk into a space and they turn away from it. And you can tell they're not looking to engage with it. Shaq is someone who enters a space. He has a calmness to him. He knows that how he wants to interact with this room, what he does want to do, what he doesn't want to do, when to speak, when not to speak. But he has this great ability to recognize, okay, this is where I inject humor. This is when I want everyone to pay attention to me. This is when I want to shift attention somewhere else. And I just think he has this advanced ability that he can recognize every person's emotion and what they're thinking. He has this hypersensitivity to that. And it's really unique. You know, I've been lucky to see it in a couple of people, but he's definitely one of the rarest ones I've seen, and how he controls a room and how he makes everybody feel worthy and special. He remembers everyone's name, shakes everyone's hand, talks to everybody in this way that feels really connecting and kind. And it's always feels honest. It never feels forced to me. It always feels honest.
Well, now that's something I think a person's born with. And this, where do you think that comes from for him? And related to that, his mom, you know, I know a lot about his dad and the impact that, you know, military upbringing that his dad brought to him. What effect did his mom have on him, and what did, you know, how does that sort of, where did that natural ability that you just described come about? Do you think, where did it come from?
I agree. I think he's born with it, but I think it was cultivated by this really nice balance he had from his mother and father. They always gave him an incredible amount of love. The father always gave him tough love, and his mother always gave him the nurturing love, the supportive love, the love that came with explanation. His father didn't give him a lot of explanation, but his mother always did. And I think she was such a great communicator that allowed him to see what was critical in his upbringing and his support and what he should do with his gifts as he goes out into the world. So I think that really, really powerful balance between his parents allowed him to be the presence that he is today.
Well, it's a really fascinating documentary, and I just really love the way you approach things and your honesty, and you're so thoughtful. So I wish you the best of luck, and the shop's terrific too. It's Robert Alexander, and it is Shaq, a 4-part documentary out on HBO now. Thanks for being on.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks again.
All right, there you go. That's Robert Alexander. Really great conversation with him and the doc. You got to see it. Hope to see you guys December 16th and 17th at the Des Moines, Iowa Funny Bone. You can go to Funny Bone Des Moines, Iowa for tickets online or go to my website, paulmercurio.com. And we will see you guys next week. Thanks.